it's so special to be together with you tonight. We've just heard and sung of the great glad tidings that the angels tell. And in our second reading, which Anne read for us, are some of the words of the angels that I want to spend just a few minutes reflecting on for us this evening. This is what the angel said to the shepherd in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." So let me pray and ask that God would help us understand something of this joy that the angel spoke of this Christmas. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time today. We thank you for the things we've sung and the prayers we've prayed. And I ask now, God, come and help me and help us to see something of the wonder of what you did that first Christmas and how that is good news for us today, here tonight in Brighton and Hove. For I ask in Jesus' name, amen. I bought myself just a week or so ago an early Christmas present. I don't know, do you ever do that? You get excited about Christmas coming and you think, oh, I really fancy that for Christmas. I don't know if I'll get it. And you kind of buy it for yourself. This is what I did. I thought, well, I'm kind of buying it for the family and I'll share it with them. And then I thought I might buy it and then I'll know if it's a good present to buy for others, which it is, by the way. This is the book that I was hoping to get this Christmas, which I've bought for myself and which I have actually now bought for others as well. It is a book by Charlie Mackesy called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. And it is one of the biggest selling books this year. In fact, it's Waterstone's Book of the Year. And it is just beautiful. Charlie Mackesy, if you haven't come across this book, is an artist. And I'd heard about his work and I'd heard people say they'd been really touched by the book. And it's just got some very simple drawings in with the kind of little few words around it of conversations between, unsurprisingly, the boy, the mole, the fox, and the horse. Imaginary conversations like this. This little one caught my eye where it says this. "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And the boy answers like this. "Kind," said the boy. Isn't that beautiful? Or what about this next one here? "What do you think is the biggest waste of time? I wonder what you would answer to that." Well, look how the mole replies. "Comparing yourself to others," said the mole. Isn't that great? But this one particularly caught my eye. It's one with a conversation between the horse and the boy. And this is what the boy asks the horse. "What is the bravest thing you've ever said?" asked the boy. I just pause for a moment and think how you might answer that. What is the bravest thing you've ever said? Well, this is the reply. "Help," said the horse. That is fascinating and also a bit surprising, don't you think? Because I don't know about you, but when I first read that, that wasn't the word that instantly sprung to my mind. And I think actually in our culture, in our sort of society at the moment, we actually often associate the word help or asking for help with weakness, as a sign of weakness. But I want to, this evening, as we explore the message of the angels, to see that actually there's something in asking for help which is massively brave and so important and actually can be very tough. I want to, if you like tonight, redefine bravery. I want us to see that when actually one of those people in debt calls and asks for help from an organization like CAP, that is an amazingly brave thing to do and that can turn around their life. I want us to see that when we actually come to a place where we're willing to admit and acknowledge that we have needs, to be vulnerable, that actually it can be a very powerful thing. One of my favorite Christmas films, in fact, I would say it's one of my favorite just films full stop, is It's a Wonderful Life. It's a black and white film that's been around for ages. If you haven't seen it, you really should. But I'm not going to worry too much about sharing some of the plot with you because it's a film that's been around for years. So here we go. It's all about a guy called George Bailey. He's a good guy in the film. He's trying to help others, do things for others. And yet George Bailey gets into a difficult situation. He finds he needs thousands of dollars. And in this trouble, he gets really kind of anguished, desperate, angry, confused. And in his desperation, he cries out for help. He prays a prayer. And God answers the prayer, and this is a bit of a spoiler alert, I'm afraid, but he sends an angel, a kind of a bit of a strange angel. He doesn't have wings or anything like that. He's a guy called Clarence, and Clarence comes to kind of help George Bailey out. But the thing about George Bailey is he doesn't really believe that Clarence is the answer to his prayer, and he doesn't really think he wants his help until another turning point in the film, where he begins to realize that Clarence is actually helping him and can help him. And I want to watch just a little bit of the video of the film, It's a Wonderful Life, at another turning point when George Bailey comes to this place of saying again he needs help. Here's the little clip. Reasons It's a Wonderful Life touches so many people all around the world is because I think deep down we all know we need help. We all face those times of sometimes desperation, of feeling like, where can I go? That the problems we face feel too big, and we are being, again, a bit like George Bailey. We come to realize that the solution to our problem is not actually the money that we sometimes think is the answer, or a great fancy Christmas present, or a pay rise that we maybe hope we're going to get, or a better job. We kind of come to realize that actually the help we need isn't something, but someone. You know, I think the kids have a lot to teach us about this kind of thing, because they instinctively get this. They get that actually if they're in trouble or they need help or there's something too big for them, they kind of go, help daddy or help mommy or help grandparent or teacher, or they cry out for help for someone. And we need help from someone. And we kind of want there to be someone who will love us. To have help from someone who you know loves you and is for you is a wonderful thing. But we also need help from someone who will not just love us, but lead us. Someone who will lead us out of sometimes the mess we made. That's one of the reasons why we take elections like the one we've just had seriously. We know that we need good leadership. And one of the reasons the Bible encouraged us to pray for our government like we've just done is because it matters who's in government and it matters how they govern. But the Bible also says, don't put your hope or your confidence or your trust in those who govern, in princes, because actually they can't fully, any of them who've ever kind of come in the kind of different political parties and systems we've gone, they never meet all the needs that are so deeply rooted in our human heart. But the angels come that first Christmas and they say this amazing thing in Luke chapter 2, which we've had on the front of the invites that many of you will have received. They say this amazing thing that there is good news of great joy for, the bit in black there, all people. Everyone, everywhere, there is good news that comes because someone has come to help us. someone has been born, a baby. When a baby is born, there is such joy that comes into the lives of those around that baby. There's a sense of excitement and the potential of a better life for that child. But when this baby comes, it's not just good news of great joy for those around the baby, but for everyone everywhere. This is not just a promise of a better life for that child or the possibility of a better life for that child. This is the hope and the potential and the possibility and even the promise of a better life for everyone. I mean, it's amazing the joy that is offered to us in the Christmas story. That a Savior, God, come to earth in a person, Jesus Christ, one who loves us, one who can lead us in a way like no other leader can do, or one who is so humble and comes to help us and yet becomes helpless. One who comes in such compassion and with such courage and who has such amazing heart to give himself for us, because our biggest need, my biggest need, the thing that robs me of peace and joy and light is when my own selfishness, my fears, my pride get in the way of me and God. It's like, imagine this is me and God is like the light up above, and my sin, like this book, gets in between me and God, and I get separated, and that peace and hope and love is kind of robbed. But Jesus comes, and he is right with God, perfect with God, and yet he comes and says, look, I'm willing to die in your place. This is what he does at the cross, and the choir are going to sing about it in a moment. He doesn't just come to a manger, he came to a cross, and he takes my sin so that I can be free and relate rightly to God, that I can know a peace and love and light and joy because my relationship with God is restored. That is what the Savior comes and does. That is the help he brings me, my biggest need, your biggest need. He comes and deals with it. That is why we've been singing these amazing songs that Christ, the Savior, is born. But you may be sitting there and thinking, but David, it sounds wonderful, but I mean, that's all right for some, but not for me. And you know, one of the things that's really interested me about this book is who it is who wrote it, because I recognize the name Charlie Mackesy. And actually, on your seats, you've got a little invitation to Alpha. And Alpha is a place where you can explore about this helper and about the help he brings. And you might think, yeah, I'd love to explore more of that. And Charlie Mackesy actually is someone who's not only done Alpha in the past, but in the films that we show on Alpha, he shares some of his story of how he came to discover this good news. But he didn't always think it was good news relevant for him. In fact, I have heard Charlie Mackesy share a story of how he came to a carol service once. And when he was a teenager with a few of his friends, three of his friends, and they just thought it was a bunch of rubbish. They would just came along and made fun of it, and they got chucked out of the carol service. Thank you for not being chucked out of the carol service tonight. And he just recounts what happens as he and his friends talk as they go back through the park, having been chucked out of the carol service. And I thought I'd just show you briefly these few minutes of him just sharing with some people about he and his friends as they leave the carol service after being chucked out. Here it is.
Carol service. And so we're walking through the park, talking about things, and Jen said, you know, she was 16, just 17. She goes, you know, I haven't told you about Jen. Jen, we were at school with, she got pregnant when she was 16 and had to leave school. She had the baby and left school in sort of shame. And she always struggled. She was always poor, broke, and carried this sort of strange sense that she'd failed because she got pregnant. So Mark, another good friend of mine who was in the fight, he was super bright, very angry, lost his dad at 10, drank a huge amount, and just was confused. Simon was a shepherd's son who was reclusive, brilliant poet, filthiest language I've ever heard in my life, tender-hearted, probably probably struggling with some kind of depression, I would think. So four of us, and it was me, who was, had been through endless schools, never seemed to settle in any school, was always just disruptive, continually questioning, not quite sure who I was, always lost, feeling like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? So there's four of us, quite, you know. But, so we had this sort of raucous exterior where we'd go drunk into the back of church and go and fart and burp and try and disrupt it. Meanwhile, hiding like the classic, sort of the usual human existential pain and sense of who are we and why, just why. And so I'm telling you this because we had this conversation. We were walking across the park and Jen said, well, my babysitter's got, I've got to go home now because, you know, she's got to go and I've got to see him. So we dropped Jen off at home, and then Simon got in his rusty old Ford Cortina, and he went back, drove off back up and to his farm. And then I was with Mark, and Mark was walking through and with me, and I got to his house, and he stood outside, and he was going to say goodnight, and he just said this. He was like, you know, do you ever wonder if there's any truth in that stuff? And I said, not really. And he said, but do you not think it would be good if there was something like really good? And I said, yeah, it'd be really nice. And he said, you know, just something that actually genuinely like accepted you, like really loved you, like didn't evict you for burping, just knew you and you were okay. And I said, yeah, it'd be really good, wouldn't it? And I was, you know, a conversation like that made me feel awkward, as I felt awkward. And he was gently asking the question, could this be real? And my answer was probably not. And he said, yeah, probably not. Anyway, yeah, how you do? You have a window, and then off he went. And he went into his house. And then I went home. I had an old motorbike. I whirled around and went back to my home. And then in the night, I lay on my bed, and I didn't sleep. I just kept thinking, you know, could it be possible? Is there, you know? And my answer came back as always, sort of no. But here I am, years and years later, and I have faith.
And there he is. Here I am, years and years later, and I have a faith. And if you're maybe like him when he came to that cow service and the conversation, could it be true? Probably not. Could it be true that this one we've been singing about and that people all over the world are singing about 2,000 years later could be good news for you? Not just for the world, but for you and for me. Could love us in our mess and our need and our pain. Who could actually help us out of it. I mean, if that is true, it is wonderful news. And one of the things that Charlie Mackenzie came to see is that the shepherds were a bit like him. Because the shepherds were people who thought, oh, maybe it's for other people. You know, they were on the fields around Jerusalem looking after sheep, and they were so filthy, or considered so filthy, not just in their kind of clothes and demeanor, but actually spiritually they were considered filthy, that they weren't even allowed in the temple. And yet the angel comes to them and says, look, don't be afraid. This is good news of great joy for all people. Today in the city of David, a savior has been born to you, your savior, your Lord. And so they go. They go and say, yeah, this is worth checking out. And I want to encourage you, go check it out. Whether you grab one of these invitations and see the alpha starts in the new year and it's a chance to investigate and explore who is this help? Who is this helper, this savior? Or maybe you want to grab one of these books, which actually Charlie Mackenzie has illustrated. I've got a whole bunch of these at the end, which I'd love to give to you. But maybe you're thinking, actually, David, I don't need to wait until January to explore something. I need help tonight. If God has come, if this Jesus thing is real, then I want this help tonight. And I want to say, if you need it now, then I invite you to do that brave thing. Like the boy and the horse, do you remember? What's the bravest thing you've ever said? Said the boy. Help. said the horse. I encourage you to do what George Bailey did and just to cry out to God with a simple prayer that just says, help God. I've got one here that I was just sharing with people earlier today, and I pray often prayers like this, and I encourage you tonight, you can just cry out to God. This is a simple prayer. God, help me, please. I'm sorry for ignoring you and going my own way. Thank you for saving me and dying on the cross for my sin. I worship you like the wise men, the magi did. I worship you, and I want you to be my Savior and my Lord, to lead me. Please fill me with your Spirit and with joy and peace this Christmas. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then I would love to not just read that to you, but to pray that with you. So would you bow your head? And if you would like to, if you're willing to do that brave but sometimes difficult thing of ask for help, of asking God for help, then would you echo this prayer with me in your heart? Let's pray together. God, help me, please. I'm sorry for ignoring you and going my own way. Thank you for saving me and dying on the cross for my sin. I worship you, and I want you to be my Savior and Lord. Please fill me with your Spirit and with joy and peace this Christmas. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.